All right. There used to be a guy that worked at our office downtown named Milt Davis. Some of you may know Milt Davis. He worked at the base for a while. And Milt told a story one time about how he was engaged to a girl who was from Mississippi. He was going to go down and visit her family. So they set up the trip and everything. He goes down, and turns out her father was a Baptist minister down in Mississippi. So they set up the trip. As far as we know, it was rather uneventful, but at some point in time, Milt and his father-in-law ended up sitting out on the porch. And it's hot. This is Mississippi. And his father-in-law looks at Milt, and he says, "Milt, you don't really look like you're doing too good." Milt said, I don't feel good today. I just don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like working. I just don't feel like doing anything." His father, soon-to-be father-in-law, said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Do you like the taste of fried chicken?" Milt said, "Well, yeah, I like." He said, "So you have an affinity for fried chicken?" His father-in-law said, "Well, okay, let me get this right. You really don't feel like working all the time, and you have an affinity for fried chicken." And he said, "Yeah." And his father-in-law said, "Well, son, I think you've been called to the ministry." Now, I do like fried chicken. And there's days when I don't want to work. But I want to be clear, I'm not called to the ministry. But there is one thing I want to talk to you about this morning. And what I want us to talk about is, what do you have? I think there are several instances in the Bible where we are found that God used people right where they were, and He used them for His glory. When we get to heaven and we meet Moses, I really hope he looks like Charlton Heston. You people that haven't seen the Cecil B. DeMille, you need to go. Moses does not look like Christian Bale. He looks like Charlton Heston. Remember, it used to come on Sunday night. You get to watch half of it. You'd see him walk out in the desert with the big staff, and then, you know, you have to wait till the next time to see it. But this is a scene from the movie. This is after Moses has come down from Mount Sinai. You can see his face is lit. This is the lit face, Moses. And he's getting ready to give some instructions to the children of Israel. And one thing that, if you go to Exodus, where's my Bible at? If you go to Exodus chapter 20, all the way up to chapter 35, God is talking to Moses on Mount Sinai, and He's telling him several things. He tells him stuff about the priestly laws, talks about the Sabbath, but He also talks about the construction of the tabernacle. And in Exodus 25:8, God says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." So Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, and he talks to the people. And in chapter 35 and verse 10, we'll just read a little bit. It says, "Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its hooks, its frames, its bars, its pillars, its base." You read on down, it says, "The lampstands for the light, its utensils, the altar of burnt offering, the hangings of the court." All these things, Moses comes down, he tells the children of Israel, this is what you're going to need to do. There's over 40 items that he mentions, things that are going to need to be done. Gold and silver, tan skins, goat skins. But the point from this particular part of the story is, I want you to look at what happens in the verse after that, toward the end of 35. He says, "Take from among you a contribution to the Lord." So they came. All who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings. Every skillful woman spun with her hands. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill to spin the goat's hair. Whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, as they had done it, the Lord commanded, so they had done it. Then Moses blessed them. So this is the first example we have of where people used whatever skill they had to glorify God. Just because the only thing you could do is make a tent peg, God could use you. And he actually says in here, he needs pegs. It got down to a small enough detail as somebody who could make a tent peg. That was what God and Moses was explaining to the Israelites. I need your help, and I need you in the skill you have right now. This next guy. Now, I'm sure that Linda and Marina and Lane have been teaching using this picture for many, many years. But I would contend, Judges 6:12, who is this guy, by the way? Gideon. Judges 6:12 would give us more of a picture of Gideon that looks maybe like this guy. Whose name is also Gideon, by the way, which I thought was kind of interesting. In Judges 6:12, we're told about the Midianites. It says, for whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites would come up against them. They would encamp against them, devour the produce of the land, and leave no sustenance on Israel, nor sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. They would come up with their livestock in their tents, and they were like locusts in number. So the Midianites would come up, and they would just basically overrun everything that the Israelites had. Crops, didn't matter. They would just decimate everything they had. So in Judges chapter 6, we find Gideon. And he's kind of hiding out. You know, he's stamping out in the wine press, doing the wheat, beating out the wheat. And God says to him, or Gideon says, please, my Lord. The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. He says, oh, mighty valor, an almighty man of valor, like we talked about a minute ago. He says, please, my Lord. And Gideon says, I'd really like to know why all these stories that our fathers told us are not coming true. I mean, they told us about the Red Sea. They told us about Mount Sinai. But we're getting killed out here. Nothing is happening. And the angel of the Lord tells him, he says, go in this might of yours. He didn't say, go work out for 6 months and get to be pretty buff because I'm going to have you fight a battle. No. He told Gideon, he said, go in this might of yours. Go where you are right now. Now, we also find out, and I think it's interesting, that Gideon was still pretty scared. His father had built an altar to Baal and an Asherah pole. And so the angel of the Lord tells him, he says, okay, Gideon, you got to take care of that stuff first. But you can do it at night. Because Gideon was still a chicken. So he does it. And then the last part of chapter 7 is interesting. This is after Gideon already has his 300 men. He's already watered them down the night before the battle. And God says, you want to know what I'm going to do for you? Go down there and listen to the tent. So Gideon and his servant creep down. They listen to the tent. And they hear the story of the two Midianites talking about a dream they had. A dream where this roll of barley rolls down and kills the group of Midians. And one of the Midianites said, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. So once again, we find a situation where God took somebody right where they were. He used them right with what they had. No preparation, and God was glorified. Who's this guy right here? This widow's gathering up sticks. This is Elijah. Elijah was, just to get a little history or a little background, he had just said it's not going to rain for 3 years. And now the water's, you know, dried up where he's at, so he goes looking for water. And in chapter 17, it says, the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and there dwell. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So Elijah goes. He sees this woman gathering up sticks. And he says to her, bring me a little water and bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. This is what the widow says. She says, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. Only a handful of flour, a little oil in a jug, and now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Now, as a sideline, if I'm going to Sharon's house and she's making soup. And she says, I'm going to make soup, but we're going to die after we eat it. I'm not so sure. It took a lot of faith on Elijah's part just to eat the bread. But anyway, I digress. So she says this, but what does Elijah say? He says, do not fear, but go and do as you have said, for thus saith the Lord, the jar of flour shall not be spent, the jug of oil shall not empty. And sure enough, the jar of flour was not spent, and the oil was not empty. This is probably the best illustration, I would say. This is about Elisha. Everybody remember Elisha? Remember Elisha and the woman with the oil? In chapter 4, it says, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? And then he says, tell me what you have. He didn't ask her for anything else. He didn't tell her to go get ready. He said, tell me what you have. We know the rest of the story. You ever seen, you know, on Jaws where Richard Dreyfuss is at the back of the boat and he's chumming the water and the boat comes up and he turns around and he says, you're going to need a bigger boat. That's kind of the picture I got here when Elisha said, you better go get all the vessels you can get your hands on because you're going to have a lot of oil. It says, when the vessels were full, she said, bring me another vessel. Her son said, there are no more vessels. Go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your son can live on the rest. Once again, we have an example where God used somebody right where they were. The last one, this one probably jogged your memory a little bit. This is the five loaves and the two fish. In Mark chapter 6, we find that the setting of this is that John the Baptist has just been beheaded, and Jesus and the disciples are just kind of wanting to get away. It's been a tough time. But these people just will not quit following them. These people just need him. They need to hear what he has to say. So he goes out and he asks the disciples, he says, well, what are we going to do about food? And the disciples say, well, we're going to need 200 days worth of wages to pay all these, to get enough food to feed these people. Jesus says, what do you have? What'd they have? Five loaves and two fish. And we find they took up 12 baskets full of pieces. So what's the common thread? I think we see in these examples, in the example of building the tabernacle, the people were of a willing heart. They were believers. They used their skill, whatever it was. You can make tent pegs. You can tan goat's hide. You can make yarn. That's what he used. And what God did, he dwelt in their midst. Gideon. Gideon said, please, my Lord. He understood who God was. He said, go in this might of yours. Go where you are right now. And then we find out, or we know that God gave Midian into the hand of Gideon. The widow of Zarephath says, as the Lord your God lives. She knew who God was. Says, only a handful of flour, but the jar of flour was not spent, neither was the jug empty. The widow's oil, it says she feared the Lord. And he said, what do you have? Just tell me exactly what you have. And last, there was the great crowd, where Jesus fed them with only five loaves and two fish. So this morning, my question to you is, in 2 Corinthians 3:3, it says, the laws are written not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. We have, if you are a baptized believer in Jesus, you have the red part done. The red part is complete. Now the question is the green part. Sometimes I think we overlook some of the skills that each of us have that may not be the most, I hate to say popular, but the ones that people know about. If you're a good listener, people need somebody to talk to. If you're an encouraging person, if you leave people in a better mood than you found them, God can use that. If you're hospitable, delivering food, inviting someone to just do something with you. If you're friendly, lots of people have dogs in their house. When you go home to your dog, is he mad at you? They just jump up and down and wag their tail and everything. We should think more like a dog. And finally, we need to be real. There are enough plastic people out there. And the unfortunate reality is Christians are sometimes thought of as frozen chosen. We don't need to be that. We need to be real. Tell people your story. Tell them what God has done in your life. Oh, I missed one. Well, the last thing is 2 Corinthians 13:3. What's it say, Ronnie? Or 1 Corinthians 13:3. Everything in love. Everything in love. If we can be loving to the people around us, God's going to use what we have. The final thoughts come from a lady named Priscilla Shirer. She says, what lies ahead is not nearly as critical as where you are right now. Where you are now is where you're meant to serve. The innermost circles are often the ones that get the least amount of recognition. But the greatest impact will be done here, in the ordinary rhythms of your daily living. So the question this morning is, what do you have, and what are you willing to let God use for you? So this morning, if anybody has any questions or you want to talk to somebody, the elders are here to pray for anything you want them to pray for. If you haven't become a believer, if you haven't completed the red lettering we saw in there, then now's the opportunity for you to do that as well as we stand and sing.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Thank you, Ty. Appreciate that lesson. It is interesting. God uses the most ordinary to do the most extraordinary things time and again in the Bible. And thank you for those thoughts today. I have one more announcement. I'm supposed to announce that Koa Lyric Adcock was born October 25th. Is he here today? Okay. Well, we're glad everybody is here and doing well. Remember again tonight, we're going to have a service at 6 o'clock. David Dale will be leading us with that. So if you would please pray with me right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of grace that you shower down upon us through Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the examples, some that Ty brought up this morning and others, Father, where you show how you just use folks, everyday folks, to do the most incredible things. Father, I think of a fisherman like Peter leaving the boat and going out and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. Father, as we leave here today, may we have that same heart and attitude that we will do what we can for your kingdom, whether it's to make a tent peg, Father, or if it's to stand up and proclaim the gospel from a pulpit. Father, help us, each and every one, to realize our gifts and what we mean to you and that we are meaningful to you. And as we leave here today, God, may we take those gifts and use them to glorify your name in this world. We thank you so much for Jesus. He is our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for the saving grace that we find through his blood and his gift to us. May we always live our lives in a manner that glorifies you, Father, in his name. Amen.